Lulav Hagazal Vayavish Pasol. Shalasher Shalir Nidachas Pasol. Niktam Rosha Niftu Ola Pasol Niftu Ola Kosher. Revihudom Yagdenim Yilmawa. Tzine Harbazal Ksheros. Lulav Shishba Shol Shetvachim Yilanayabo Kosher. Okay, each line in this Mishnah really needs its own analysis. And luckily enough, the Gemara gives its own analysis to each line in the Mishnah. So we'll take them in the order of the Gemara. And we'll start with what the Gemara actually, what Rashi and Tosafot at least start with, Yavish. Right? Rashi says, why is the lulav Yavish puzzled? Be'inan mitzvah mehuderes dechsev v'anvehu. Rashi says, lulav Yavish is puzzled because we have a kolator kula principle of hiddur mitzvah. Learn from Zekelim v'anvehu, right? The Gorn Darshan, Zekelim v'anvehu. You should have lulav na and tzitzis na and sefer Torah na, etc., etc. So therefore, if you have an ugly mitzvah, then it is puzzled because you weren't Mekayim Zekelim v'anvehu. And Tosos has really two problems with Rashi. Tosos says, Lulav Yavish Pasol, Umefarish Begemara, Mishum de Itkash Lulav Esro, Dechsev Be Hadar, Below Kamoshim Yirish Bekunchus, Mishum Dechsev Zekelim Aveyu. So his first objection is that the Gemara says, Fakarath, the Gemara says the opposite of Rashi. Rashi says, Kulakulatar Kula, global principle of Zekelim Aveyu, but the Gemara says, because of a local principle, that it says priyetz hadar, you need a beautiful esrog. And even though it only says priyetz hadar about the esrog, that we have a hekesh between lulav and esrog because they're next to each other in the pasuk, and that also applies to lulav. Where do we know that from? Because the Gemara says here, and daf lamed aleph and aleph, that yavish is possible, but Yehuda says it is kosher. And Rava says, machlokes belulav, the rabbanon sarv makshina lulav the esrog. The rabbanon make a hekesh between lulav and esrog, just like esrog needs hadar, lulav needs hadar, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So it says, Mefurash, in Rabbi Yehuda, they change their mind. First, they think he needs Hadar he admits to Hadar by Esrog, he just doesn't make a Hekesh to Lulav. Then they change their mind, they say he doesn't need Hadar by Esrog either. But the Rabbanan says that it says Hadar by Esrog, and we have Hekesh of Lulav to Esrog, so you need Hadar by Lulav. So that's a local requirement, not a global principle. And Tosa's second problem with Rashi is, the Ein V'anveyu al l'chadchila. Because Zekelim v'anvehu, the global principle of hiddur mitzvah, is only l'chadchila. It's never ma'akiv. It's not a posel. Everyone knows if you do mitzvahs without hiddur, so it's not as nice, right? But no one ever said they were posel, right? If you have ugly tzitzis, no one ever said they were posel. V'lo mifsel v'hachi, k'demuchach perakama. The Amri Rebbe, as a matter of fact, where in Shabbos says, right? Tzitzin she'in ma'akiv samila. The mole doesn't do such a good job. He leaves on a little piece of arla. But it's very little. So he says he should have taken it off because of hiddur mitzvah. But if he doesn't, he's still yotze. At least that's what it seems to say. De'ein v'anveyu al l'chachila v'lo mitzvah l'hachi. Zekel v'anveyu is only l'chachila. That can be the hezber of the psul. K'demuchach per kama. Da'amri rabbanu lulav mitzvah l'ogdo mishum shenemer zekel v'anveyu. Lo ogdo kasher. So there's a machlokes tanoim way back in the first parak, although that same machlokes tanoim is going to be mentioned in our perek also, right? What they mentioned first in the first in the first perek, the Rabbi Yehuda says lulav tzarich eged, that you have to tie the lulav and asmar together like we do, but the chachamim who we pass like say lulav doesn't need eged, right? But the Gemara says that it's just a mitzvah. It's an extra mitzvah to tie them together. But you don't tie them together. Why? Gemara says Zekelim Yaveh is not the fun of a mitzvah. So Zekelim Yaveh requires tying the lulav, eged, but it's not ma'akev. It's just a mitzvah, but you're yotzei without it. So that's those two problems on Rashi. Number one, the Gemara says the opposite of Rashi, on Daf Lamed Aleph. And number two, on Daf Yud Aleph, we see that Zekelim Yaveh was not ma'akev. It's only a lechadchila. So therefore, it can't be the explanation of lulav Yaveh possible. Okay, and most Rishonim agree more or less with Tosfos. So the first question, of course, is why did Rashi say what he said? Meaning, Rashi's clearly a chiddush. You go to Daf Lamed Aleph, it says because of Hadar, right? You go to Daf Yud Aleph, it says Zekelim v'anveyu is not ma'akev. So before we defend Rashi, you just have to understand that, you know, if someone says something stupid and then you start defending him, they're still stupid, right? Now, Rashi obviously had a reason why he said it, and then if he had a reason why he said it and you defend him, then it becomes a shita. What's the reason why Rashi said Zekelim v'anvehu and not Hadar? Right? What's the reason Rashi said the Shita? Why didn't Rashi say like Tosfos?
Plus text, or Shat? When is this textual? He didn't want to go against Rabbi Yehuda.
But we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Of course you can go against. It's much more passionate. Why did Rashi say Yeshita? Someone tell me. Why did Rashi say Zekeli and Veyu instead of Hadar?
Because it only says by
Esau, but the Gemara says the Hekesh. If the Gemara says the Hekesh, why wasn't that good enough for Rashi?
It's just the standard. It's not the reason for it. The reason is Hadar.
Okay, that's already a teretz. This is too fancy for me. I want Pashup Shot. Why did Rashi not say like Tosos? Exactly, because the next line of the Gemara. Look at the first line of the Gemara. Kapasik v'tani, loshna b'yantav rishon, v'loshna b'yantav sheni. Right? The Mishnah is saying pasik, straight out. Right? The Mishnah is saying across the board that it's pasul on yantav rishon and yantav sheni, meaning all 7 days. Yantav sheni doesn't just mean yantav sheni in America, it means all 7 days. Bish lama yavesh hadar b'inan v'leka. Granted, yavesh, you need hadar and you don't have it. Here also it sounds like Tosas, hadar b'inan, right? And you're missing hadar. That's the problem. Elo gazol bishlami yom tov rishon dichsiv lachem mishalachem. Elo b'yom tov sheni amaylo gazol. I understand why it's puzzling yom tov rishon because it says lachakim lachem. The drush is mishalachem. You have to own it. That only says on the first day, but it doesn't say that on the second day. So why is it puzzling on the second day? Then we get into a labor d'ksugya that we're going to get to next week of mitzvah bava avira. But there's a fundamental problem. We're going to deal with this problem at much more length in the next year. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara assumes that Yavesh is Pasul Kol Shiva. Gazol, the Gemara assumes, before they bring in this controversial principle that Rabbi Yochanan will argue about, is only Pasul B'Yom Tov Rishon, because U'Lekachtem Lachem is talking about Yom Tov Rishon. After all, what does the pasuk say? L'kachem lachem v'yom harishon. So now here's the problem. Why did the Gemara think l'kachem lachem only applies the psul of lachem, or the psul of gazel, right? The requirement of lachem only applies Yom Tov Rishon. So why does the requirement of hadar apply all 7 days? It also says l'kachem lachem v'yom harishon creates hadar. Lachem, l'kachem lachem v'yom harishon creates hadar. Just like, nice try. Just like Lachem is only Yom Tov Rishon, Hadar should only be Yom Tov Rishon. That's the question Tosos asks in Dibur Asal Beitin and Hadar V'Leka, and then there are other questions also. And that's the question which the Raivin and the Ramban spent pages and pages about, and the Chumash spent a long Chumash about, and the Ritva spent a whole essay in the first 3 pages about. This is a big problem. Why? Why is Lachem only Yom Tov Rishon, but Hadar is all 7 days? So look at Rashi on the Gemara. Rashi says, the second to last Rashi on Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, second to last line also, Bishlami Yavesh Pashol B'drabanan Nami. Ah, the second day is Drabanan. On a Drabanan, you don't need Lachem. So why do you need Hadar for a Drabanan? Anyone know why there's a Drabanan all 7 days? Because of? Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, what was his reason? Zechlamitas, remembrance. Do you need lachem for remembrance? No. You don't need to fill the whole pasuk for remembrance. You just need to basically wave 4 species. So the problem is, right, here's the question. Question is, why is Yavesh Pasul al Shiva, but lachem is only Pasul on Yom Rishon? Why is there a difference? That's the problem that bothered all the Rishonim. Answers Rashi, Pasul Drabanan Nami. You know what? All the things in the Pasuk we don't require for this Drabanan Zechel Mikdash. We're not so machbid. But Yavish Pasul, even Drabanan, came in the mitzvah Mishim Zechel Mikdash, because since it is a mitzvah, because of Zechel Mikdash, Lamais it's a mitzvah. Right? It's part of Odus Hashem. Be'in and Hidr Mitzvah. He repeats himself in the Hidr Mitzvah. Rashi is saying very Pashuk, because this is a local gzeirat hakatov, and therefore it only applies b'yom tov rishon, not to Zeichel HaMikdash, yeah, the local Zeres Kasav Lachem only applies beyond the Rishon, not to Zeichel HaMikdash. Likewise, if Hadar was a local Zeres Kasav, it would only apply beyond the Rishon. It wouldn't apply to Zeichel HaMikdash. But this is a global principle. A global principle of Hidr Mitzvah, this is Rashi, applies even to a mitzvah d'rabbanan, even though it's only Zeichel HaMikdash, it's still a mitzvah. And a mitzvah is a Hidr Mitzvah. It's clear in that Rashi why he said his seemingly strange shita. What was his incentive? And if you read the last Tosfos on the daf, he had a lot of trouble. He had a lot of sleepless nights trying to figure out why Guzzel should only be possible on the first day, but Lachem only applies on the first day, but Hadar applies even the second day, which we'll come back to. So that's Rashi's incentive. Rashi's incentive was to explain why Yavesh is possible all 7 days, while other things are only possible the first day. Why? Because the local Xeris Kasav only applies the first day, Lepach Lachem B'Yom Rishon, but the global principles apply every 7 days, even to a mitzvah drabbanan. You ever heard that a mitzvah drabbanan is no hidr mitzvah? Hanukkah's drabbanan, we do hidr mitzvah, right? Of course, mitzvah drabbanan we do with hidr mitzvah. And you also get that impression for the other Rashi. Rashi says his sheet in three places. In the top of Chates Amid Beis, Luva Yavesh Kazvian Vehu. In the bottom of Chates Amid Beis, we just read, even though it's Drabbani, you still need Hidr Mitzvah. And in Lamed Vavam Beis. On Lamed Vavam Beis, it discusses in the Sugya of Rav Chanina, which we'll analyze a lot more next time, that Rav said that if you have a esrog that was bitten by mice, that was partially eaten by mice, you can't use it all 7 days. Why? Because it's not Hadar. So what does Rashi say? Hello, L'Rav, Damar, Ein Zeh Hadar, Kashid, Rav Chanina, Da'afilu B'Sheni, Nami, L'Rav, Lo Nothing. According to Rav, it's not Hadar. Even on the second day, even on the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh day, you wouldn't be Yotze. Da Mitzvah Hadura B'Inyan. You need a Mitzvah Hadura. Notice, for Rashi, Hadar, he's consistent. It's not about creates Hadar in the Pasuk. It's the principle of Mitzvah Hadura, of Hidr Mitzvah. Why? Ho'olu Mazker Shem Shemai, love, since you're mentioning Hashem's name, could Amr B'Ish Pirkin, Yavish Pasuk, Loshna, B'Yom Tefrisha, Loshna, B'Yom Tefrisha, B'Yom Tefrisha, B'Yom Tefrisha, So Rashi says the same thing there. You need a Mitzvah Hadura. He doesn't explicitly say Vyan Vehu, but notice what he says. It has nothing to do with the Pasuk. No, all the Xeris Akasavs in the Pasuk, we only apply the first day. We don't apply all the Xeris Akasavs of the Pasuk all 7 days. It's because you need a Mitzvah Hadura. And that's really the contrast to the previous Rashi. Previous Rashi says, "Masnisim b'yom tov rishon shel l'kichaso min haTorah v'ina l'kicha tama d'chsev l'kachtam l'kicha tama v'yom tov shein enough be rochinia avagav lo v'shalim." You need an esrog that's not missing anything. Let's say your pitzum falls off all the way, right? Then it's possible the first day because l'kicha tama, because it's not full, it's not shalim, it's not tam, it's not tumim. But on the second day, if your pitzum falls off, it's okay. Doesn't have to be tumim. You don't need lachem. You don't need l'kicha tama. You don't need all the xeris akasvos on the second day. So Rashi's answer, but why do you still need Hidur on the second day? Because Mitzvah Hadura, you're mentioning Shem Shemayim, you need Mitzvah Hadura. That's not a local principle, that's global. So Rashi is very clear what's the incentive for Rashi needing, and you need an incentive. Because if Rashi just says something crazy, and then you can answer it up, that still doesn't make it a good pshat. But if Rashi has incentive for saying it, and then he has kashas, then you can answer the kashas, then already it's a pshat. So that's Rashi's incentive. I think that's very clear, that's why he said what he said. Now the problem is just going to be, how does he defend himself against Tosos's two attacks? What were Tosos's two attacks? Just a chazer, Tosos's first attack was, he's against the Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. Now, of course, whenever you're answering up a kasha on anything, there's many ways to answer. You're looking, because I'm so free, there's a lot of very, very creative ways to answer the kasha. Let's just see if we can answer the straightest way we can. So what's the, so now we see the advantages of Rashi. What is the questions on Rashi? One question on Rashi is, the first question on Rashi is that Daf Lamed Amud Aleph says Mifurush that Ksiv Hadar Umakshinan Lulav LeEsrog. Very explicit. It says Hadar by Esrog, and we get Hekesh Lulav to Esrog. That's like Tosos. It's against Rashi. Black and white, straight out. What's Rashi going to say about that? What's Rashi going to say about that? How is he going to defend himself against that Gemara? Okay, how are you going to defend Rashi? He's against the Mefurish Gemara. No? Poor Rashi. No one's going to defend Rashi? Kitty Genovese? The Chesky, what are we going to do?
When you go after Beva Esrim, Rashi is going to have to come and give you a special shkaya. Okay.
There's two meanings of Hudar. One is the Hadar, one is the shame. That's just the shame of an Esrog. So when they're saying...
But that's not what it says there. It says Machina Lulu Esrog, right?
Maybe it is too deep. I mean, there's Zekili Van Veo that it has to be like nice, and there's a Mesrog to do that, but it just can't. It's an usher to have it not be nice because of an Esrog through the Hekesh. So maybe it's Fidyan and Rashi.
Okay, maybe. Let me come back to that. The simplest answer, I think, though, is already found in a hint. Says Rashi and Laman Aleph and Aleph. There are a few answers, and I think where Yonatan's going, I'm not sure if that's exactly what I think he means or not, but definitely is potential. But I think the simplest shot is, if you look at Daf Laman Aleph and Aleph, Rashi says something interesting in fifth last line of Rashi. Aval eso divrei kol bader hader, the hader ksiv bay, it says hader in it. The lo darshinon le the Rabbi Yehuda eder loshen yavani, and we don't darshin according to Rabbi Yehuda who admits we darshin hader. We can't darshin this from the loshen of hydro in Greek. Kedidarshli benazai the comment like benazai says later on that hader is from the loshen of hydro in Greek, which means of course, show off your knowledge of Greek, water, right? That much Greek we all know. And that means that it's a tree that needs to be watered a lot, that's gadol kol mayim, and that's how we know it's referring to a citrus tree, such as an esrog. That he already hints to us that, like, if you darshan hadar to mean beautiful, then you can't darshan it to mean the identity of the species through hydro or something like that. Now, I think here it gets to just a very simple question as to the Havmi and Maskana of the Gemara here. Let's go through the Havmi and Maskana of the Gemara here on Daf Lamed Aleph. I know eventually we'll get to Daf Lamed Aleph. Then we'll have to say we already went through the Havmi and Maskana of the Gemara, and we'll do Ayin and other things. There's lots of other things from Ayin. Not to worry. Here is the Havamina is on Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Aleph. And the Maskana is Lamed Aleph Amed Beis. Here is the Chachamim. And here is Rabbi Yehuda. What's the Havamina? The Havamina is very clear. I'll use maybe black for the Shita. Oh, look at this. We even have better ones here. Maybe I'll use black for the Shita and red for the Svara. The Havamina is the Chachamim say that Esrog Hayavish is Pasul and Lulav Hayavish is Pasul. Right? And in the Havmina, what did Rabbi Yehuda hold? Esrog Hayavish, she admitted is possible. But Lulav Hayavish was kosher, right? That was the Havmina of Laf Lamed Aleph from Aleph. They only argued about Esrog, but they both agreed about Lulav, as the Gemara says there. Amar Rava, it's not just Havmina, it's Rava. Machlok is Belulav. Machlok is only Lulav. There are abundance of Machin Lulav Esrog, etc. Amar Rava Esrog, Dibre called Hadar Be'ina. Right? So this is just Rava, right? Not just the Havamina, even though Rav is going to be disproven. And what's the Svara? The Svara is Pashat. The Chachamim hold Hadar equals beautiful. And Makshinon Lulav Le'esrog. And Rabbi Yehuda, he agrees that Hadar is beautiful, and therefore Esrog needs to be beautiful, but he holds we don't have a Hekesh, and Lulav doesn't need to be beautiful. That's Beforish. What about the Maskana? Is there a name for the Maskana? We go through, and what's the basic problem? The basic problem is that we prove that Yehuda is even Machshir Esrog Hayavish. Right? Toshma Esrog Hayoshon Pasol Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. He Machshir's an old, dry Esrog. Tiyuvta Derava Tiyuvta. That's a Tiyuvta Derava. Then we try to defend it, attack that Tiyuvta, but unsuccessfully. What about the Tiyuvta? The Maskana is the Tiyuvta Derava on Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Aleph. Apparently, the Maskana is that Chachamim think Esrog Hayavish is Pasul and Lulav Hayavish is Pasul, while Rabbi Yehuda thinks Esrog Hayavish is Kasher and Lulav Hayavish is Kasher. So you are ass on Rabbi Yehuda. The Elo Yehuda Ksiv Hadar doesn't say Hadar. What does it do with Hadar? Tahu Hadar Bilanu Mishana L'Shana.
No, what's his svara? His svara is that hadar equals hadar be'ilano. It's the name of the min. Basically, it's not clear how we know the priest hadar is an esrog. Right? After all, a rimon is a pre-eats that looks hadar to me. There's a lot of things. Basically, almost any fruit can be called a pre-eats hadar if you want. But obviously, the Torah had something in mind. The Torah didn't just mean any fruit. So how do we know what it has in mind? So the Gemara later on, in Daf Lamed Hey, has various opinions that try to figure out how we know it means an esrog. Most of these opinions, interestingly, really only prove that it means a citrus fruit. How we know it specifically means an esrog is still a little bit of a mystery. They say either because it's something where the bark tastes like the tree, which is only true of citrus fruits, or because of the lashon of Greek, it's like a deer, it's like a pen, where you have big fruits and little fruits. Meaning, what's unique about citrus, actually maybe not all citrus fruits, but at least esrogs and some, is that you can let them grow more. They don't all fall off at the same time. You can let them keep growing. Or that's also darbi lana mishana lishana, right? They can stay from year to year, or maybe hydro because they need more water. So somehow this is a remez. Okay, we'll have to get to exactly how much to know it's an esrog and not a lemon when we get there. And whether a lemon is an esrog or not for various halakhic purposes when we get there. But now I better get there before next sukkah, or else everyone's going to go save money and buy a lemon. Okay, but he dashed our darbi lano. Now the question is, what the Gemara never fills in, right? Everything I've written now is mefurish in the Gemara. The red here is not mefurish in the Gemara. What's the chachamim svara lemaskana? It's not filled in the Gemara. So what does Tosos say? Tosos says, well, the reason why they never say lemaskana, what's the chachamim svara, is because they said in the Hadmin and never changed their mind. If you tell them the svara in the Hadmin and you don't change your mind, it's the same thing. Right, that's obviously the simplest way to read the Gemara. So here says Tosfos says, "What do you mean? It's the same thing. The Chacham didn't change, so their Svara didn't change, right? Hadar equals beautiful, and the Gemara doesn't have to repeat it because nothing changed. And Makshinan Lulav LeEsrog. That's how Tosfos reads the Maskana. However, the Meiri and everyone else defending Rashi, well, almost most people defending Rashi, say no. But maybe Rashi has a different way to read the Maskana of the Gemara." Maybe Rashi reads in the Maskana of the Gemara that on the one hand you could say the Chacham didn't change. If the Chacham didn't change, then nothing changed. But there's another way to read the Maskana of the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda changed. If Rabbi Yehuda changed, the Chacham changed also. You don't have to tell us the change of the Chacham because it's the same as the change in Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe according to Rashi, Hadar equals Hadar bi'ilano v'chulei, right? Mishana l'shana. Maybe the Maskana of the Chacham also. That's what Meiri says for Rashi. The Maskana of the Chacham also changed their mind. Oh, why is Yavish Pasal? But Lulav or Esrog HaYavish is Pasal Mishom Zekeli the Anvehu. Maybe Rashi, that's how he reads the Maskana. Not the Chacham and Svara didn't change. Because why would their Svara have changed if the Shita didn't change? Adrava. The Chacham Svar did change, because if Rabbi Yehuda Svar changed, the Chacham Svar changed also. That's also a valid way to read the Gemara. And I think a hint to the fact that Rashi reads the Gemara this way, I would say, is the Rashi and Lamed Aleph Amin Aleph. Because on Lamed Aleph Amin Aleph, Rashi throws in something completely unnecessary. When we first introduce Hadar and Lamed Aleph Amin Aleph, it's not necessary to say anything, and Rashi throws in, he doesn't darshan Hadar to identify the species of the Esrog as Hydro. Why does Rashi have to throw in the beginning of the Gemara? You should know, whoever says Hadar means beautiful can't also think it means the identification of the species for the following reason. You have an obvious kasha. If Hadar means beautiful, how could they darshan and lamed hey of an aleph to say that it means the name of the species? There are four opinions on daf lamed hey of an aleph as to how we know what species it is. One opinion is from pre-eight, that the eight tastes like the pre. The second opinion is from the word hadar, that it means hadir. The third opinion is from the word hadar, that it means hadar, bi'ilano. The fourth opinion is from the word hadar, that it means hydro in Greek. Three out of the four opinions darshan the identity of the esrog from hadar. How can you darshan the identity of the esrog from hadar if you darshan beautiful from hadar?
if you darshan the tnai of beautiful from hadar.
So why does Rashi use this example of the drashas? He should use hadar.
That is a great question.
And since there's a difference, if you could say, you know, you can hold both if you hold that it's hadar l'shana l'shana, only if you hold that it's hadar for some reason.
I hear the taina. I definitely hear the taina. And I'm interested in figuring out what that reason might be, even though that's not the direction I'm going now, because I haven't figured out that reason yet. But I'm definitely interested in hearing further about that. Let's just, it's a very simple thing. How do we deal with the stira between daf lamed aleph, where hadar equals beautiful, and daf lamed hey omed aleph, where hadar equals the identity of the species in a way that has nothing to do with beauty. Whether it means hadir, or whether it means hadar be'ilon, or whether it means hydro, it has nothing to do with beauty. There's a spirit, how we darshan hadar. So what I want to say is this, is that Tosfos would say, what would Tosfos say about the spirit we darshan hadar? Are, after all, three out of the four opinions on daf lamed hey omed aleph darshan the identity of the species, darshan the identity of the species from the word hadar. So, I don't have this mefurish in Tosos, but what I think you could say is that Tosos would say, no problem. Tosos would say that it's no stira. After all, why is it no stira? You could say the pshat is beautiful, creates hadar, and there's also a drash. Maybe you can learn two things from one word. How can you learn two things from one word? Okay, you know what? Sometimes, very often, we learn two things from one word. We say, well, if it only meant beautiful, it could have said yafeh. And therefore, since it says hadar, therefore it means this species. And if it only meant this species, it could have said esrog. And since it says hadar, it means beautiful. So there are cases where you can darshan two things from one word. Now, I would love it if, like, someplace the Amorim went through this logic, but you could say, efshar to say, no stira, sometimes we can darshan to dinim from one word. I know that's not the normal rules of drasha, but sometimes you can. And all you have to do is, again, we all know how this Talmudic exegesis works. You just have to say, if it only meant beautiful, it would have said yafeh. If it only meant the species, it would have said esrog. Since it says hadar, which is not the simplest way to say either of them, is to remez to two double drasha. Or there you could also say shkulim hey, other things. Or you could say it's an asmachta and real halacha moshmi sinai, right? The Rambam says halacha moshmi sinai. That's also a, okay, you're right. That is a great answer. Maybe that's a better answer than what I wrote. I like that. Or just say that beautiful is a real drusha. It's not so much a drusha as a pshat, but I'll call it a drusha. And the species identity is an asmachta. Hawaki is the right to say it's asmachta, because many Rishonim say it was halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that it's an esrog. Right? That we always saw them having an esrog for halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. We don't need a drasha for this. Okay. So, and is an asmachta, and it's really halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Okay, that's a great answer. So you could have dealt with this stira between daf lamed aleph and daf lamed hey elsewhere. You're right. Reb Yehuda doesn't darshan beautiful. But if you want to darshan beautiful, you can deal with the stira. If you want to darshan beautiful, you can live with the stira. Just say you darshan two things from one pasuk, which really means beautiful, and all those other things are just asmachtas for halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Okay, but what is Rashi implying? Rashi implies, no, you have to make your choice. You can't have your cake and eat it too. If you darshan hadar for beautiful, you can't also darshan for hydro. And I totally hear Yonatan's diuk, although I just want to know where to go with it. If you darshan hadar for beautiful, you can't also darshan for hydro. And you can't also darshan for hadir. And you can't also darshan it for hadar. You have to pick. It's either one or the other. So what would Rashi say? Rashi would say, no, that it's a machlokes, that you have to either darshan for beautiful or for the species identity, not both. That's what, now I'm not making this up. Rashi himself throws it in unnecessarily in Lav Daf Lamed Aleph and Aleph. Why in Lamed Aleph and Aleph in the very beginning of the sugya does Rashi have to say, you should know if you darshan beautifully, you can't also darshan hydro. Maybe he's hinting to us that these two sugyas can't work together. It's either one or the other. Ah, what in the Havim Daf Lamed Aleph and Aleph and the darshan beautiful? Okay, they would have said we have to darshan eight pri on Daf Lamed Hey. But according to this, then it's very simple. Then Rashi works out very beautifully. And therefore, Limaskana, we darshan Hadar for the species and not for beauty. Right? So it works out well for Rashi. It was only in the Havmina we darshan for beauty. And what gives us the right to reject the Havmina? Now, Rashi has two reasons to reject the Havmina. Number one, if we reject the Havmina for Rabbi Yehuda, why not reject it for the Chachamim? But even more so, because three quarters of the opinion of the Daf Lamed Hey reject the Havmina. Now we understand why we reject the Havmina. Tosos would say that we keep Havmina until proven otherwise. That's Tosos. But Rashi would say not that. Just like we changed our minds for Rabbi Yehuda, so too we changed our minds for the Chachamim, and three quarters of Daf Lamed Hey and Aleph, I don't mean three quarters of the lines, I mean three quarters of the opinions of Daf Lamed Hey and Aleph, three quarters of the Lamed Hey overrides the Havamina on Daf Lamed Aleph and Aleph. And Rashi and Chumash is interesting because he's a little redundant. He darshans Eitz Pri and Hadar B'Lanu. But Rashi and Chumash darshans Hadar B'Lanu Mishana L'Shana and does not say beautiful. Which again, you could just say Rashi and Chumash is just saying Asmachtas. Right? It's a big machlok zachron where Rashi and Chumash is always darshaning the way we pass the halacha or just in a way that's easy for everyone to understand. Or just in a way that fits his agenda of making sure that you don't make certain mistakes which people are likely to make in his days, like to think you can use any fruit. But if you take Rashi and Chumash seriously, which is the, I think, majority approach in the Achronim, that he says Hadar B'Lanu. If he says Hadar B'Lanu, then he does say it means beautiful. So Rashi works out very nicely. In the end, this Gemara, although there are other answers also, this Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph doesn't have to bother Rashi, even though it's before she against him in Rav on Amud Aleph. By the time we get to Amud Beis, he can say it's not against him anymore, and he can say we change our mind. And what gives him the right to say we change our mind? A, if we change our mind for Rabbi Yehuda, why not change our mind for the Chachamim, which is what the Meiri seems to say. And B, if Rashi holds the stira between Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, and Lamed Hey, Amud Aleph, by the time we get to Lamed Hey, Amud Aleph, we obviously seen that we changed our minds based on three quarters of the deos there. So therefore, that is not a problem, right? To answer for Rashi. Again, there are other answers. Look at the Sam Sofer, look at the Rav, we'll come back to what Yonatan says. But the answer, the simplest answer, is the answer of the Meiri. And many Achronim is that that's only the Havamina, but we were Choser in the Maskana. Right, we change our mind in Maskana. Okay, so now we've defended Rashi against Tosa's first attack. What was Tosa's second attack? Tosa's second attack on Rashi was Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, which says that the global Hiddur Mitzvah, right, of Zeh Keli V'Anveihu, or let's even put that more strong, Zeh Keli V'Anveihu, is only lechachila, and you know, that matches our intuition, like we've all been Jewish for a few years at least, and we all know that Hiddur Mitzvah is a very important thing to do, but we all know it's not ma'akev. If the mitzvah doesn't look so nice, you're still yotzei. Except for Esrog. But we all thought for Tosfos reason, because it says Kriyat Hadar. So why, if Zeh Keli V'Anveihu was never ma'akev, why is it ma'akev all of a sudden here? And Daf Yud Aleph, it's not ma'akev. And in other places in Shas, it's not ma'akev. Right? I think it's Pashut that, maybe it's not Pashut. It's not Pashut, it's some Sofer. But by Bris Mila, there's Sitzin She'ein Ma'akvin Samila. If you didn't do a clean job, it's not Ma'akev, even though you didn't fulfill Zeh Keli V'Anveihu.
But you still don't call Shabbos to do it.
Okay, fair enough. That's the second problem in Rashi. Okay, how do we defend Rashi? So already all the Achronim pointed out that all the Kohanim except for Rabbi Yehuda, that first of all, the first way to defend Rashi is to look in Gittin Daf Chaf. Right? In Gittin Daf Chaf, they discuss a case where, and it's not as interesting as Rabbi Yehuda's case, it's a much simpler case, where the Sofer wrote Shem Hashem Shelo Lishma. How did he write Shem Hashem Shelo Lishma? So coincidentally, he intended to write something else and wrote Shem Hashem where he needed Shem Hashem. But he wrote it Shelo Lishma. So what if he, what about this, I mean, okay, we're not getting into Lishma now, you know, the there might be other cases also where you could say he wrote a Shelo Lishma, like if he just didn't say he was writing it Lishma, etc. But okay, he wrote a Shelo Lishma. What does he do if he wrote Shem Hashem Shelo Lishma? What's the problem? The problem is that your first intuition would be, no problem, just erase it and write it again Lishma. The only problem is, you can't erase it because it's Shem Hashem. Right, that's the problem. And if you write Getchelosh, if you write a word in the Getchelosh, you can always erase it and rewrite it. But if you write Shem Hashem, you're stuck. So what do you do if you write Shem Hashem Shelo Lishma? So the Gemara says that it's a machlok Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda says, Marvelov, you just retrace it on top of it. You go over it again. Marvelov Kumos Mekhancho, you rewrite it. And the Chachamim say, Ein Hashem and Amuvchar. Chachamim say, no, that's not choice. That doesn't work. So why do the Chacham think it doesn't work? Because the Machlok is between Rav Chista and Rav Acha bar Yaakov. What is Rav Chista? And Nachmina, forget it. Rav Chista says, why doesn't it work? What does Rav Chista think it doesn't work? Because retracing doesn't count as ksiva. And therefore, you never wrote it Lishma. You call this writing Lishma. It's only writing when you have blank space and you write something. If you just, you know, you have a letter and you just retrace it again, that's not called writing because you haven't added any content. So he says, ksav al gabi ksav, yom habi ksav. That's his shita. And in which case, it's not a specific rule of Sefer Torah. In a get, if you write the get Shelo Lishma, you retrace it, it doesn't count because you haven't written anything. Might also have nachminas for Hilchos Shabbos. The Gemara discusses in Shabbos, is it considered writing, etc. Basically, it's a kol Torah kula principle. Retracing doesn't count as writing. Okay, Seder. Nothing to do with us. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, though, disagrees. And we pass like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Says Rav Acha bar, I think, but yeah. At least most Rishonim pass like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Says, actually, let me think. For, no, the Shulchan Aruch actually is Mesopic about it in the end. Okay. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, I think the Shulchan Aruch ends up being Mesopic about it. The Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, Dilmalohi atkan lukram gavron ilhasim elbinu zekelim yaviyo beleka v'lhachalo. He says, no, it's only a psul in a Sefer Torah. Because a Sefer Torah requires zekelim yaviyo. And you know, if you retrace something, that doesn't look nice, right? I mean, I wrote everything once, and then one word I like retraced again. It looks a little ugly. So that's a problem, that's a psul of zekelim yaviyo. However, in Gittin it's fine, because Gittin is not a mitzvah. It doesn't, or not that kind of mitzvah at least, doesn't have to be beautiful. All right, get is ugly to start with. So it's not a problem. So what do we see here? Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, and seemingly that's maskan of the Gemara, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that a Sefer Torah that you retrace the word is puzzled because it is ugly. And the Gemara elsewhere says that even Rav Yehuda admits if you wrote all the Shem Hashem Shelo Lishma and then you retrace them all, even he admits that's ugly. It's menumar. Spotted. Even he admits that's ugly and it's puzzle. So, here what do we see? That you wrote a Sefer Torah and you violate a Zekelim Yavehu. It says Zekelim Yavehu, and yet it's puzzle. Mm-hmm. So doesn't that prove that Zekelim Yavehu is Ma'akib B'dieved? So here, already this seems to be a right of Rashi. So the Rekiva Eger has a sheet as Yachid. I put on the sheet. Rekiva Eger just has a nice geschmack Rekiva Eger here. But what's a sheet as Yachid about this Gemara and Gittin? What's his chiddush about this Gemara and Gittin? What's his shitas yachid? That this Sefer Torah is really kosher. Says it's only not l'chatchila. L'chatchila you shouldn't do it this way. But it's kosher b'di'evet. And he says, really, Rav Chista and Rav Yaakov weren't only arguing about the reason you don't do this in the Sefer Torah. They're arguing about the din. Rav Chista says, ksav al gebi ksav doesn't count as ksiva. So the Sefer Torah is puzzled. Rav Yaakov says, no, the Sefer Torah would be kosher if you did it. Just l'chachila, figure out a different way to fix it. Meaning there is a different way to fix it. What can you do l'chachila? Cut out that whole column and just write a new column and sew it in. Right? It's not like you have to throw out the whole Sefer Torah. So he says, l'chathchila, you shouldn't do this, because it's not zekeli v'anveyu. So that supports Tosfos' theory, that zekeli v'anveyu is only l'chathchila. Right? So Rabbi Akiva Eger would support Tosfos. However, most achronim, Pashim Shad in the Gemara, is that it's puzzle. Pashim Shad in the Gemara is that it's puzzle. Why? Because Rav Chista thinks it's puzzle, because it doesn't even count as ksiva. So Pashas, Rabbi Yaakov also thinks it's puzzle. Okay, so this depends how you interpret the Gemara in Menachos. Rabbi Akiva Eger says it's only l'chachila, because that Kelim Veil is only l'chachila. But the Pashim Shad, I think, I mean, it's always hard to tell what Pashim Shad is. Everyone has their own version of Pashim Shad. But most achronim, the ones on the Mukoros here, the Chassam Sofer and the Rav, and I think the majority of achronim, and that's what the Shoel, the correspondent of Rikivei, also thought. I don't know who the correspondent was. Rabbi Shimon of Chad Zeitz. Rabbi Shimon Chad Zeitzer, or however you're really supposed to pronounce it, assumed that it was puzzle. So now already, say the achronim, we have a clue to defend Rashi. After all, right, let's just review here for a second. This Tosos probably assumes, not Davna, but how do we defend Rashi? The answer is that assuming, unlike Rabbi Akiva Eger, right, because according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, then it becomes impossible to defend Rashi, hard to defend Rashi. But assuming, unlike Rabbi Akiva Eger, then we have precedent in Gittin, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, Zek Keli V'Anveihu is Posel. So we see that Zek Keli V'Anveihu is sometimes Posel. Obviously, sometimes it's not Posel, but sometimes it is Posel. So here we see it's sometimes Posel, it's sometimes not Posel. Okay, how do we know when it's posel and when it's not posel? After all, now we've defended Rashi by saying, no, sometimes it is posel, like here and in Gittin Daf Chaf. And sometimes not posel, like in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. How do we know when it's posel when it's not? Remember, you're not allowed to say it's posel in Lulu and Esro, because on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis it's not. Right? So how do we know when it's posel when it isn't? So here there are two main approaches, I think. Two main approaches, I would say. The Chassam Sofer has an interesting idea. He says a wild chiddush. He says, whenever the lack of hadar is in the chefza, that's pasul. Whenever the lack of hadar is outside of the chefza, that's only the chachila. Lulav tzarech eged is outside the chefza, whether you tie it or not. It's not in the lulav and in the esrog. It's just how you package it. How you package it, for example, in the original brisa was at Kelim Yanveyu. Who remembers the lashon in the original brisa was at Kelim Yanveyu? It actually had an interesting lashon, which I think might be what the Chassam Sofer is working off, although he doesn't quote this lashon. Let me read you the original. I have Shas, the original lashon of the Brisa in Masechta Shabbos. What did the Brisa say? But not that part. I mean, yes, that part, but more. The Brisa said, "Zekeli v'anvehu." His nalafun of mitzvos, be beautiful in mitzvos. Ask the fun of sukkah na, make a nice sukkah. Velul of na, a nice velul. Shofar na, nice shofar. Tzitz is na, nice tzitz. Sefer Torah na, nice Sefer Torah. Kasabol lishmo, and write it lishmo. Bigyonah with nice ink. Bikulmas na, with a nice quill. Belavla umam with an expert scribe. Bikorcho bishirayin na, and wrap it in nice cloths. So here he's like, no, there's like different levels of Kelim Veil, because the thing itself should be a sukkah na, a lulav na, a sefer Torah na, and then you should wrap it in nice cloths. Says the Chassam Sofer, these are two different levels of the Kelim Veil. There is having it be nice, and there's wrapping it in nice cloths. Lulav Tzarech Eged is wrapping in nice cloths. I don't think anyone would say sefer Torah is puzzle if you don't wrap it in a nice cloth. Why? Because that's just how you present it. That's not the Sefer Torah itself. It can't be puzzle if it's not the object itself. If the Sefer Torah itself is ugly, that's puzzle. That's Gittin Daf Chaf. That's Ein Hashem and Amovkar. But if you just didn't wrap it properly, you didn't present it properly, we know. Someone's a caterer told me presentation is the ikker. But it doesn't matter if the food tastes good. It matters if you present it well. Okay. Not for me. But there's a difference between the heft itself can be puzzle. How you wrap it can't be puzzle. So says the Chassam Sofer.
Why are you saying that it's the sacred Torah? They're talking about the shame, not the sacred Torah.
I mean, if you write another way, if you write Yehuda or Shimon, it might not be the same.
Ah, okay, fair enough. But then that's going to be trickier to defend Rashi, right?
Well, you, I thought that was the point that you gave us from Aaron Komos.
Aha, okay, so hold that thought. Okay, Beseder. So hold that thought. Hold that thought. Let's see if we can do it. The question is, then, so, in which cases is it possible? In what cases is it possible? In what cases is it just l'chachila? So says the Chassam Sofer that hider gufo is ma'akev. Hider chutz l'gufo is only l'chachila. That's what Chassam Sofer says. And therefore, eged is only l'chachila, but how you write the Sefer Torah that's in the words itself, and whether the esrog is yavish or not, that is ma'akev, that is posel. He then has to make a big chiddush, though. Because, what about that tzitzin she'in ma'akev samila? What about the bris mila, where there are some pieces of skin that you didn't, of arla that you didn't cut off? After all, that's begufo. So why isn't that ma'akev? So then he has to make a tremendous chiddush. And he says that it must be that if you don't cut off every single piece and make the bris mila look nice, it is ma'akev. You're not yotze the mitzvah of bris mila. Oh, what did it mean by it's not ma'akev? It means that the kid's not an Ariel, but it still passes the mitzvah. The kid's not an Ariel. The kid's allowed to eat truma. But the kid's not puzzle, but the mitzvah is puzzle. That's a big chiddush the Chassam Sofer came up with here, that if you do the mila and it doesn't look nice, then the kid's not puzzle, but the mitzvah is puzzle, and you're mevatel the mitzvah to say of bris mila. That's a big chiddush of the Chassam Sofer, that when it says it's not ma'akev, it is ma'akev the mitzvah. It's just not ma'akev the kid. The kid's still allowed to eat truma.
And then you'd have to do a hatafat d'abri?
You would, I assume, he might say, you would just have to go back and finish cutting if you want to do the mitzvah. What?
Are we worried more about the father than
that the father's not yotze. Right, the father's not yotze. This comes out of big chiddush. The big chiddush is that tzitzin she'einon me'akvim ar me'akvim. Tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin are ma'akvin. Oh, what does it mean they're ma'akvin, they're not ma'akvin? They're not ma'akvin the status of the baby. They are ma'akvin the mitzvahs asay of the father. Right? There is no key of mitzvahs asay here. It's just that the kid's not an Arel. The kid being an Arel is only if he's ma'amish an Arel. But this is a kid who's not an Arel, but never had a mitzvah bris mila done for him. Okay, Seder. That's the big chiddush. That's not the way that the Me'iri and the Rav understand. The way the Me'iri and the Rav understand is, that's one theory. The way the Me'iri and the Rav understand.
But Heshi Rechman thought that they're the same, right?
No.
Didn't he wrote that, he said. No?
He wrote the Rav is the same as the Chassam Sofer?
Yeah, didn't he?
I don't think the Rav ever says his life goal to be the same
as the Chassam Sofer.
I don't know what Ayin Pirish. First of all, I don't know what Ayin Pirish Zeba Chassam Sofer means.
Okay.
I think he meant the other part of the Chassam Sofer. Okay, the Chassam Sofer said many things. I think he meant the other part of the Chassam Sofer.
Okay.
Says the Rav and the Meiri. Okay, the Rav said it slightly differently than the Meiri. I'm not sure either of them would be happy to be on the board together. But there is an Indian of Esbahev, the Sufa, that it could be when they were in the Ritcha de Oraisa, or at least the Rav we have on record. But I'm sure that by now they're very happy to be partners on the board.
The Rav would prefer to be with the Nehiri than the Chassam Sofer.
That I never heard the Rav discuss the Chassam Sofer. So I just, I know there's... He never particularly quoted him. But says the Rav and the Meiri, they say, no, it's not a matter of gufo, not gufo. They don't want to make this big chiddush about bris mila. To say, really, that tzitzin she'ein ma'akev, you leave some pieces of the foreskin, and it's not ma'akev, it really is ma'akev, they're not willing to go to such a big chiddush. Although, some will point out, Chassam Sofer's chiddush is not so crazy, because after all, you're allowed to finish it up on Shabbos, so maybe that shows that it is ma'akev, the mitzvah say. Okay, but the Rav's not willing to go there. Says the Rav, he says no. It's just a svara. Some things are just common sense judgment calls. He says it's common sense that there are some psulim which are not pretty. There are some things that are not pretty. And there are some things that are ugly. How do you know what's not pretty, what's ugly? So at least the way you says it. You know, you just use your judgment and you look at the circumstances. So he says very pashut. He says that when it's just not pretty, then that's not ma'akev. But when it's ugly, when it's a balmum, then it is ma'akev. So therefore they say that it's just, they're different levels of. Different levels of non-hinder. If it's just not mahudr, then that is kosher b'di'evid. And then sitchin matmeh elar, just not mahudr. It's not the end of the world to have a few pieces of flesh there. It's not the prettiest thing in the world, but it's not the end of the world. However, if it is, I'll use the Meiri calls a chisaron gomer of hiddur. If it's totally unmahudr, or the Rav says it, if it's a mum, right? But if it is a chisaron gomer or a mum, the Meiri used chisaron gomer, the Rav used the mum, then that's possible. Right, it just depends how bad it is. After all, if you don't tie your lulav with the other minim, so it doesn't look as pretty as it could have. But it's not totally ugly. As a matter of fact, it's not ugly at all. It's just not as pretty as it could have been. However, if the lulav is yavesh, a lulav a yavesh, that is a total lack of hiddur. And in the case of lam vav and bezim rashi, if mice ate part of your esrog, okay, if it's a mouse-eaten esrog, that is ugly as sin, or at least ugly as not a mitzvah. And here, they both bring things to back up. How do we know that? And therefore, in Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah, it's similar to what the Gemara elsewhere calls Menomar. It's like spotted. It says, a Sefer Torah, if the Shem Hashem looks funny, that's ugliness in the Sefer Torah. What would be not pretty? You had a sofer. It wasn't all skilled sofer. His the osios weren't beautiful. You know, I'm a Balkori. So sometimes you lean for Sefer Torah and the osios are beautiful. Sometimes you lean for Sefer Torah and the osios are readable. They get the message across. The Seder. So not every Sefer Torah is pretty. That's not ma'akiv, even though it would have been worth it to pay extra money to get a very skilled sofer. But that's not the same as if you retrace the word and it looks ugly. That's ugly. That's a mum. So a mum is posel. They're just misvar at different levels. And that's why the Meiri quotes here, the Yerushalmi, what does Yerushalmi say here about Lulav Yavesh? What pasuk does it apply? Lo Meisi Halukah, that's dead. Meaning, as you can see, there are people who, some people are healthier than others. Some guys can run the triathlon, some guys can't. And then there's someone who's dead, right? So there's a big difference. You know, some people are more lively than others. Some people are better shaped than others, but that's different from being dead. A little bit of it's just dead. And you know what? The esrog, the mouse ate part of it. Maybe it's not dead, but I don't know what the must. I don't want to bring too much of a hakpalah here, clearly that is disgusting. Right? So he says, yeah, a little bit of it's just dead. That's a psulim zekel gembehu. That's not the same as it's not tied nicely. So that's all the lechachili. You could have done a better job. That's not the same as being dead. The Rav here actually goes back and says, this sounds like a little what Rav Yonatan was trying to say before. The Rav says, you know what it could be? That maybe if you changed our whole answer here, the Rav doesn't take this approach here, says Rashi Taka agrees that it means hadr there. He denied everything he said here. I don't think he's right about this, because I had too many diukim in Rashi, or at least one good diukim lamed aleph lamed aleph. But the Rav says, no, Rashi admits this possible hadr. So why does he say zekel mevehu? No. On the first day, it's possible because of Hadar. And on the second day, it's possible because of Zekelim Yanvehu. Why do you need to say it's possible because of Hadar? He says, no. Because it's only in light of Hadar that we know this is such a bad lack of Hiddur Mitzvah. That's how the Rav says. The Rav wants to combine this. Again, this part of the Rav, I'm not sure that I'm Makabel. You know, I could just say it over nicely or less nicely to convince you. But I'll say it over nicely. Says the Rav. He says a different answer here. It's not that it's only halving. Lemaskan, it's possible because of Hadr the first day. And it's possible because of Zekelim and Vehu the second day. Why do we need both of them? Because if not for Hadr the first day, we wouldn't have thought it was so bad the second day. We would have said, but you're still Yosei. It's not such a big problem. But now that the Torah requires Hadar the first day, we see the beauty of an Esrog is super duper important. Now the beauty of an Esrog is super duper important the first day. Even on the second day, we see an ugly Esrog is a Baal Mum, and we apostle it because it's Zekei L'Yavehu. So the Rav says that maybe the Hadar the first day is what influences us to view this as a bad Mum, and a puzzle kind of Ma'akim Zekei L'Yavehu on the second day. Okay, I'm not sure that I'm convinced by that. I think it might be easier to say no. There is no Hadar the first day. I was Medayik and Rashi that he doesn't hold to that Sugya Daf Lamed Aleph. Why is it possible the second day? Like the Meiri says, Misvara on the second day, Lo Amesh Mi Halukav. This is a really bad lack of Hiddur. This isn't just not pretty. This is dead. And the eaten by mice and Lamed Vav and Beis is also not just not pretty. It's like, can you think of something gross? If you open your fruit drawer, do you think of anything grosser than something that was eaten by mice? I mean, maybe, but if you're creative. But not a lot of things, right? That's not just not pretty. That is clearly a Baal Mum. Okay, so I think that Rashi would just say there's different levels of Hiddur. So really, we can defend Rashi. We know the incentive for what he did. He himself gave us enough clues to get out of Tosfos Kashim, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. And how about Zekei L'Yavehu? If you take Pashup Shad, and we're in Gittin Daf Chaf, already we see that Zekei L'Yavehu is sometimes Ma'akev, and if it's sometimes Ma'akev, we just have to say, either like the Chassam Sofer, whenever it's in the Chafze, it's Ma'akev, and say a Chiddush about Bris Mila. Or we could just say, no, even when it's in the Chafze, it's not always Ma'akev, it depends. Sometimes the Chafze just doesn't look as nice, and sometimes the Chafze looks disgusting. And a Lulav Yabesh is disgusting, it's dead. And a Lulav that was eaten by mice is disgusting. The one last thing that we wanted to discuss here before we came back to Yavish is the funny lashon of Rashi and Lamed Vav and Beis. Says Rashi and Lamed Vav and Beis, what does Rashi add? Turn to that Rashi and Daf Lamed Vav and Beis. What does he add that doesn't seem necessary? When you get a chance, what? Yeah, it says because you mask your Shem Shemayim on it. If you're on Chavtes and Beis, he just says it's a mitzvah. A mitzvah requires a kelim and veil. But says you mentioned Shem Shamayim. Why does he have to bring in the? Why does he have to bring in Shem Shamayim here? And what does he mean by Shem Shamayim here? Right? What does he mean by Shem Shamayim? So does he have to bring in Shem Shamayim? What does he mean by you mask your Shem Shamayim? How do you mention Shem Shamayim on the Esrog? Like, what does it mean you mention Shem Shamayim on the Esrog? So pashtus is you say a bracha on the Esrog. You mention Shem Shamayim. The problem is, and this is where Yosef Engel's kashi started with, so what if you say a bracha on it? After all, what if you shook a lulav without saying a bracha? Would it be kosher or pasul? Would you be yotzei? Yes. So how could you say that, it's a problem because you can't say a bracha on an ugly thing? Just don't say the bracha. Or just say you weren't yotzei the bracha. How could the bracha be ma'akev? Maskur shem shemayim, how is the bracha ma'akev? So what's shot in this Rashi? Why is the bracha a problem? How is the bracha ma'akev? So here, I think, a few ways to read Rashi. There's a really boring way to read Rashi. Which, if it was the simplest shot, then I would go with it anyway, because you gotta be honest. But here, I don't think it's shot in Rashi. You could say, sort of like the famous Avi Nazer. You know, there's this Russian psachim who says you need to eat a kazayis of marr. Because you say a bracha of alakilas marr. And everyone tries to figure out, like, what exactly does he mean? Like, it's because of the bracha you have to eat a kazayis of marr? So the Avi Nazer says, no, that's not what he meant. What he meant was that if you wouldn't make a bracha on it wouldn't be a real mitzvah. There are things you don't make a bracha, they're not a real mitzvah, like charosis, according to most Rishonim, according to the Rush. Right? Charosis is not a real mitzvah. It just enhances the Seder, right? It's just a prop at the Seder. But you don't make a real bracha, and therefore, it's not a real mitzvah. You don't need excise of charosis. So he says, if you wouldn't make a bracha on maror, then it wouldn't be a real mitzvah. Then you wouldn't have to eat a kazayis. You would just have to spice your matzah with it. But, since we make a bracha, that shows it's a real mitzvah. If it's a real mitzvah, you have to eat a kazayis. It's a real mitzvah. That's how the Avnei Nezer reads this infamous rush in Ari Psachim. So if you want, maybe you can read Rashi that way. What he means is your mazker shem shemayim is that it's a real mitzvah. Since you make a bracha, that shows it's a real mitzvah. If you hadn't made a bracha, I would say that's not a real mitzvah. That's just a reminder of the days of the Mikdash.
Why would you not make it? My mother is the Havmi,
there's no Pesach. So the Havmi is, since there's only Zecher the Mikdash, that you would, that Zechel HaMikdash is not a real mitzvah and would require a bracha.
But then you have no experience
at home. All mitzvahs do have to require a bracha.
Yeah, but maybe Zechel HaMikdash is a lower level than other mitzvahs to Rabbi.
Why didn't the Mary ask for a sphere and all that kind of stuff?
Okay, maybe in that half, I mean, you also wouldn't make, first of all, it's a machlokas and the Gemara and the Rishonim and what Sphira is, so not so posh. Anyway, maybe you could say what Rashi's coming is you might not have, mean a Zechel HaMikdash is not a real mitzvah. It's just a reminder. A reminder is not a mitzvah. I mean, you could take Zechel HaMikdash two ways. What I mean is this. You could take Zechel HaMikdash two ways, right? We know. Bar Rishona, Luz Nitel, Bimdina Achas, Bimikdash, Bimikdash, Bimdina Achas, right? Mishachar, Beis HaMikdash, Hitkin, Rabbi Yochanan, and Zakkai, you should shake the lulav everywhere 7 days, Zechel HaMikdash. You could take Zechel HaMikdash two ways. You could say, it's not a real mitzvah of lulav. He just told you, wave the species to remember the Beis HaMikdash, so you don't forget the Beis HaMikdash. That's one way of taking it. It's not a real mitzvah Santilus lulav. It's just a hechitemtzi of Zechiras Mikdash. You know, it's like singing Emesh Kachech at a wedding.
Like a
right? Or you could say, no, the reason was Zechel HaMikdash, but he made an honest, authentic mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. I could see both ways in that Chakira. Is it really mitzvah Netilas Lulav 7 days? Because of Zechel HaMikdash? Or it's not mitzvah Netilas Lulav, it's just mitzvah Zechiras Mikdash. And the Hechi Timtzi, the way he resolved the Mikdash by waving species they used to wave in the Mikdash. So you could say, maybe those two ways. Rashi wanted to know, right? Maybe this is Shana Rashi. Okay, let's see. Let's see. Maybe Rashi wants to know this Chakira in Kol Zayin Bizman Hazeh. Is it a mitzvah netilas lulav? Or is it just a way to remember the Mikdash? Nafkamina is, if it's just a way to remember the Mikdash, then you wouldn't need Zekeli V'Anveilu. You don't need Zekeli V'Anveilu ways to remember the Mikdash. You have to sing Emesh Gachek with a nice tune. People like to do it, but I don't think you have to sing with a nice tune. Maybe it's better to sing with an ugly tune. Right, Zekel Mikdash, when you put an Amma by an Amma on your wall, you make it look nice. No, you don't have to make it look not nice. Okay, so there's different kinds of Zechel HaMikdash. But if it's just a Zechel HaMikdash, you don't need Zechel HaMikdash and just a Zechel HaMikdash. But if it's a real mitzvah and Tehillas Lulav Midrabanan, right, then you do need Zechel HaMikdash. So maybe Rashi thought you might be masupik about this. Is it a real mitzvah Drabanan? Or is it just a hint of remembering the Mikdash? It's like breaking a glass under the chuppah. Does anyone think you need to break a nice glass under the chuppah? No, it's not a mitzvah. It's just a way to remember the Beis HaMikdash. So, and even though, again, you can mechalik in sad ways to remember the Beis HaMikdash and happy ways to remember the Beis HaMikdash, I know. But, so what does Rashi say? You know how I can tell which shot it is? You could say, well, if it was a mitzvah drabanan, then you would say a bracha. If it was just a way to remember the Mikdash, then you would not say a bracha. And therefore, Rashi says, is that since you're Mazgir Shem Shemayim and you say a bracha, therefore it's Igloi Milsa, that it's a real mitzvah seal saluv near Banan, and therefore you need Zakel Mianveyu. Maybe that's what Rashi means. He says, since you say Shem Shemayim, since you say a bracha, that proves it's a real mitzvah and not just a Zechira Bialma. If it's a real mitzvah, it needs Zakel Mianveyu. Maybe you could read Rashi that way. And again, my inspiration for reading Rashi that way is the Avnei Nezer about Maror, who reads the Rush that way. He says, since you make a bracha on Maror, that proves a real mitzvah. If it's a real mitzvah, then real mitzvahs need a kezias. Just stam zechiras don't need a kezias, but real mitzvahs do. So maybe you could read Rashi that way. And then you wouldn't have to make any chidushim. The reason why I'm reluctant to read Rashi that way is just because, you know, his lashon is hold mazker shem shamayim alav. Something of being mazker shem shamayim. You're mazker shem shamayim. Like, if this is what he means, I don't think he should have said mazker shem shamayim. He could have said hold mavarich alav. You know, shem shamayim doesn't, like, I wouldn't have expressed the mazker shem shamayim. I would have just said, ho mitzvah he. After all, Rashi did say in Chavtesim and Beis. What did Rashi say? Rashi had a lashon of Kevin de Mitzvahu. So, maybe Rashi's saying the same thing. Here it's a Kevin de Mitzvahu. Here it says whole Masker Shem Shamayim, but it's an awkward way to say Kevin de Mitzvahu. So I don't love this pshat, and I actually didn't even find any Achronim who said this pshat on Rashi.
I have it quoted from Rabbi Yosef Engel.
No, that's not what Yosef Engel says. He says something else. You'll see. Okay. So maybe you could have said that pshat on Rashi, that it just is a gloy milsa, that it's a mitzvah gemura. But I don't love that pshat on Rashi. So let's say better on Rashi. What do we say better on Rashi? Says, explains Rav Yosef Engel and the Rav, right? Both Rav Yosef Engel and the Rav. Lekach Tov, Rav Yosef Engel and the Rav both start the same way. They say no. Shem Shemayim is not just an gloy milsa of a mitzvah. Shem Shemayim is very important. Why? Because Zekei Livian Vehu. And after all, what happened to the Sefer Torah? It was the Shem Hashem, right? As a matter of fact, there's some Achronim who say, we're not getting into that now, that even Tosos would admit it's possible and giving. Because Shem Hashem is more chomer. Zekei Livian Vehu Mamash. Keili Mamash. So, they say no. They say that the Ikum of Zekeli Vianvehu is only Bimakom Hazkaras Shem Shamayim. Keli, Mamish. Zekeli Vianvehu is only Ma'akev when you're Mazker Shem Shamayim. The Ik of level of Zekeli Vianvehu is only when you're Mazker Shem Shamayim. It also has to be a Mom. Because after all, you're Mazker Shem Shamayim in the loop with an egg, it also. But the ikum, the high level of Zekeli, the absolute demand of Zekeli Vianvehu, that it's Ma'akev, is only when you're Masker Shem Shamayim. That's why Rashi had to say it's Shem Shamayim. The question is just, but where are you Masker Shem Shamayim on Lulav Esrog? Where's this Haskar Shem Shamayim? After all, what is the Gemara saying? Midaag behein nafik be. You pick it up, you're yotzei. Where's that Haskar Shem Shamayim? And here's where Rabbi Yosef Engel and the Rav go in two ways. Rabbi Yosef Engel goes in a fascinating direction, says, Aleph, Rabbi Yosef Engel and Lekach Tov, he says, where's that Haskar Shem Shamayim? Pashup Shat? No, Rabbi Yosef Engel.
No.
In the Bracha. Right?
Oh, he says. Oh, that's the one of the Bracha.
In the Birkas HaMitzvah, that's what you thought I was saying before. The Birkas HaMitzvah. But what's the problem with Yosef Engel? The problem is that then it's only Ma'akev the Bracha. It's not Ma'akev the Mitzvah, right? The problem is, right? The question is, if the Birkas HaMitzvah Shem Hashem, but the problem is, but even if it is Ma'akev the Bracha, why is it Ma'akev the mitzvah? After all, we know that brachos ain't ma'akvos. They give Yotzei a mitzvah without a bracha. And here, he has to say big chidushim.
Yeah.
What big chidushim do you have to say? At first, he says a big chiddush, which he has two explanations for. The second, which is very fanciful. The first, he wants to say that we see from here that in d'oraisas the bracha is not ma'akev the mitzvah. But in Drabbanans it is. Why? He gives two explanations. The second is a little too speculative for me to repeat. But his first explanation is, he says very simple. In the Doraisa, first came the Doraisa. Then the Rabbanan told you to say mitzvos, say brachos. So obviously the brachos is not Makayim the Doraisa. The Doraisa was around beforehand. But in Drabbanans, who told you to do the mitzvah? The Rabbanan. Who told you to say a bracha? The Rabbanan. So therefore they made it a package deal. In Doraisa is the mitzvah l'chud and the bracha l'chud, because one is from Hashem and one is from the rabbis. But in Drabbanans, the mitzvahs from the rabbis, the brachas from the rabbis. So it's a package deal. Either you do it or you don't. So that's his first subformulation. He says either, but a tremendous chiddush, either A, the bracha is ma'akev, a mitzvah midrabbanan. And he says, what's Rashi talking about? He's not talking about the first day. He has to go back and say Rashi admits to the drush of Hadr the first day. Unlike what we said, Rashi's talking about the Yant of Sheni, the rest of Sukkos. On the rest of Sukkos, the bracha is ma'akev, and therefore, since you weren't yotze the bracha because of lack of hiddur in the Shem Shamayim, you're not yotze the mitzvah either in the last 6 days. That is his first kiddush. That's a tremendous kiddush, by the way. This is totally not what we paskin, right? I mean, it's okay. So then Rashi, who says about like Rashi, right? This is not what, anyway, he has not found any mucker to say this, not any Gemara, not any Rishon who says anywhere that if you do a mitzvah to Rabbanu without a bracha, you're not Yotzei, right? That's a tremendous chiddush. That's definitely. Right. And then he has a second formulation. He goes even further. He says that maybe the bracha is ma'akev all mitzvos on a derabbanan level. Meaning this is even more machir. Even a mitzvah d'oraisa, when the rabbanan attack the bracha, they say you're not yotze if you didn't say the bracha. You're yotze midoraisa, not like looking out doing sukkah mi'amecha, but even in a mitzvah d'oraisa, if you don't say the bracha, you were yotze d'oraisa, but you weren't yotze midrabbanan. Meaning, even a mitzvah d'oraisa, if I do mitzvah d'oraisa, I blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah without a bracha, I'm yotze in the d'oraisa level, but midrabbanan, I wasn't even yotze shofar. That's more machir. First he was saying is that if you do the rice, you're yotze without a mitzvah, bracha. Drabbanan, you're not yotze without a bracha, because it's a package deal. Then he's saying, no, even in the rice, you're not yotze without a bracha. Even in the rice, you're not yotze without a bracha. You're yotze on the rice level, but in drabbanan, you're not yotze. The Gemara said, mafurish and brachas, if you take truma without a bracha, you're still yotze. It's a mafurish mishnah, hamisha lo yetrumu, v'yim tarmu, truma sum truma, right? Five people can't take off truma, because they don't say a bracha, like a mute person, or a naked person. But if they do, it's still valid truma without a bracha. So you know what he says? He says, similar to the Chassam Sofer, valid truma means the food became kosher, but you weren't yotze the mitzvah of truma. You're mevatel the mitzvah, save the rice of truma, because you did without a bracha. It just means the food is still kosher, and if you shecht without a bracha, you're mevatel the mitzvah, save the rice of shlita, if there's such a mitzvah, according to the Rambam. It's just the food is still kosher. The food is kosher, but you didn't do a mitzvah, at least on a drabbanan level, and you would even have to go back and do it again. Except for the fact you can't take truma again, because now that it's cooling, you can't take truma.
If you blow the sofer again, you still don't make the bracha. Well, at least according to him.
No! According to him, if you should blow the shofar again with the bracha. Yes? And what's it? If this is the big enough meaning. If you do a mitzvah without a bracha, you should do it again with a bracha. First, if you do drabbanan without a bracha, you weren't yotze, you do it again with. Second, even if you do a doraisa without a bracha, do it again with. Because midrabbanan was ma'akev. Again, not our standard Orthodox Judaism is ma'azeh. But that doesn't prove that he's wrong. And he has one makor in maybe a Rishon. There's a famous Machzor Vitri, of Rav Simcha Mivitri, the Talmud of Rashi, who says, what if the Kahal Damas Marav early in Sfiras Omer? What should you do? Count with them without a bracha. And if you remember, count in the right time with a bracha. How do most Achronim understand what he meant? You do it al Tanai. If I remember later, I'm Yotzei later with a bracha. And if not, then I'll be Yotzei now. However, and here it gets a little tricky. From the way the Avodraham quotes the Machzor Vitri, the Primagadim understands that the Taz understands that the Avodraham understands the Machzor Vitri, right? So it's not the biggest shita in the world, right? And the Taz might or might not mean what the Primagadim said. And even if the Taz meant it, the Avodraham might or might not mean it. And even if the Avodraham meant it, the Machzor Vitri might or might not have meant it. But, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, I got something. I mean, it's a real Primagadim. And again, the Primagadim doesn't think it's true. He just thinks that the Taz thought the Avodraham thought the Machzor Vitri meant it, and it's wrong. So no one actually vouches that this is the right Shita. But the Primagadim thinks that someone thinks that someone thinks that someone had the Shita, and it's wrong. So at least it's something to grasp on. He says that, what does he mean? If you count Sfiras HaOmer without a bracha, then you weren't Yotzei on a Drabban level, and that's why you could do it again with a bracha. And if you forget, you're at least Yotzei on a Deraisa level. Okay, it's grasping at straws, because again, if the Primagadim had said, I think the Taz thinks, the Avodraham thinks, the Machzor Vitri thinks this, and it's right, that would be the Shita of the Primagadim. But Primagadim doesn't think it's right by any stretch of the imagination. So it might or might not be such a Shita out there that the Bracha is Ma'akev, and the Nafkamina would be, if you did it without a Bracha, go do it again with a Bracha, because it was Ma'akev. Again, not our current Orthodox Judaism, where we say that if you did something without a Bracha, you're Yotze, and you can't do it again. If you make a Bracha again, it's a Bracha Latala. That's Rabbi Yosef Engel. He says it's the Birkas HaMitzvah that's ruined by the lack of Hiddur, because the Shem Shemayim of Baruch HaShem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shem Shem Sos HaZivonu is ruined by the lack of Hiddur, and he has to make a tremendous Tiddush in Rashi. And then he says, what do you mean? It's Rashi L'shitase. After all, the Primagadim says, the Taz says, the Avodraham says, the Machzor Vitri holds this, and the Machzor Vitri is the Machzor Vitri actually says, my Rebbe did, and the Machzor Vitri's Rebbe was Rashi, so it's Rashi L'shitase. Okay,
could be Rashi Lishitase. It's a nice chaf. It's a nice chaf. It's amazing how he put this together. What a genius, not a chish. It's genius to put this together, to find the Prima Gavra, quoting the Taz, quoting the Avadran, quoting the Master of Victory, quoting his Rebbe, and his Rebbe's Rashi, and say it's Rashi Lishitase.
But this is not only Lulav, this would be anything.
Correct. And then Rashi would say the same for any mitzvah. Correct. Who says Rashi only by Lulav? He happens to mention it by Lulav, because it's in a Mishnah. He would say the same thing by other mitzvahs. So says Rav Yosef Engel. However, the Rav takes it differently. The Rav says something which you might say is a little more speculative, but on the other hand, you know, is more substantive. Says the Rav, he says no. It's something unique to Lulav. And here he makes a big chiddush. What's the Maaz Gershim Shamayim according to the Rav? Not the Birkas HaMitzvah. What's the Maaz Gershim Shamayim?
Hallel.
Hallel. Exactly. The Maaz Gershim Shamayim is Hallel. Now, what is the... And therefore... And what's the Chap of the Rav? Chap of the Rav is it's not that you have to say Birkas HaMitzvah is Ma'akev. No. The Maaz Gershim Shamayim is Hallel. And Hallel, what does he say? It's not that Hallel is Ma'akev Mitzvahs. Of course Hallel is a Ma'akev Mitzvahs. You blow the show for that Hallel, and you've done the right thing. It's Hallel, but what he says is that Hallel is a necessary element of Lulav. I wish I mean, of course, Lulav Esrog. Hallel is a necessary element of Lulav. That's the Rav's Kiddush. Hallel is a necessary element of Lulav. And if you're Ma'akev the Hallel, then, and it's not just Ma'akev the Hallel, it's not a two-step process. Like, oh, well, it ruins the Hallel if you say Shem Hashem and Hallel without Hiddur, and therefore it ruins the Lulav and Esrog. No, say it better. What the Rav's saying is that the Kiyum of Lulav and Esrog, again, and that's my Rav's, of course, is to be Mahallel. The Kiyum of Lulav and Esrog is to be Mahallel. And therefore, the kiyum of Lulav Esrog is to praise Hashem, is to praise Hashem's name, is to be, let's say it even better, to be Mehalel Shem Shamayim. And therefore, Hiddur Mitzvah is not only necessary, even Ma'akev. Right? Because the key, what he says by Shem Shamayim, doesn't mean they happen to have made a takana of brach birkas HaMitzvah, and then it, through the back door it ends up being ma'akev. No! He says the etzem, now here's this tremendous chiddush of the Rav, and we'll come back to this much later in the parak. I might have thought that, and again, we're not going to say old enough communities now, I might have thought that the mitzvah is to pick up a lulav esrog, ulakachtem lachem b'yom harishon. You should lift up on the first day these four species. And then, that was in the Chumash. Then David HaMelech came and wrote Hallel. Whoever wrote Hallel, he canonized Hallel at the very least. Maybe Hallel was written before Sefer Vayikra. That depends. It's Machlokas, different days of Chazal who wrote Hallel. But Hashem said thou shalt pick up four species. And then there was a thing called Hallel. Let's assume David HaMelech wrote Hallel. Not earlier. Then there's a thing called Hallel, and then there's the Kanda Rabbanan say Hallel and Yantif. That's very clear that in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu they didn't say Hallel and Yantif. And then there's the idea of saying Hallel and Yantif, and you said these six chapters of the Book of Psalms on Yantif. And then they decided it would be nice to wave these species during the Hallel and Yantif, maybe because it says Oz Yiranenu Kol Atzeyar. So once we're Maranin, we should use the Atzeyar. Maybe because it says. In Sefer Shmuel, they use Menanaim, they shook lulavs, so we should also shake lulavs. Okay, you might have said that Hallel was an ancillary part of lulav. And why would you have said Hallel is an ancillary part of lulav? Because the Gemara says, Mida'ai bay nafik bay. Once you pick up the lulav, you're yotzei. Clearly, you're yotzei lulav without Hallel. Clearly, the default, the push-up shot is that lulav has nothing to do with Hallel, lulav is a matter of picking up, Mida'ai bay nafik bay. So that's why it's not so push-up. The Rav has to say, even though we say mi da'ag behei nafek behei, you're yotzei by lifting it up without Hallel. So we see Hallel is not an integral part, not a defining aspect. But the Rav brings many rayas that is
The Rav brings many rayas that's not so pashut, right? He starts with the Rambam, when the Rambam describes the mitzvah of lulav, right? What does the Rambam say? When the Rambam describes the mitzvah of lulav, he says, what is the mitzvah, Taka? The mitzvah is, mishiyeg bia arba minim elu, when you pick them up, you're yotze. But the mitzvah kill chasa, however, the proper way to do the mitzvah is sheyagbia agudah shal shal shemini b'yimin v'esker shol v'yolech v'yaviv yalav yor v'nanea halulav shal shpam to be menanea the lulav keitzat, etc. And then he says, v'heichan molcha maybe, and where do you do it? B'shas kriyas halal and halal. Right? Says the Rambam, the mitzvah of lulav is interesting. He didn't put this in Hilchas Halal. He put this in Hilchas Lulav. And he didn't put it at the end of Hilchas Lulav by like Simchas Hachag. He put it as, what's the mitzvah of lulav? The mitzvah of lulav is your yotzi if you pick it up, but the mitzvah kel chasa is to wave it during halal. The mitzvah kel chasa is to wave it during halal. So what do we see from the Rambam? That the essence, the true essence of lulav is revealed when you wave it during halal. And this becomes, now again, this is a diuk in the Rambam that he calls the mitzvah kel chasa. But this becomes much clearer. The best raya for this is, I think there are two best rayas for this. The best raya for this is, A, the Yerushalmi. Says the Yerushalmi, why is the Lulav Yavish Pasol? Lo Amesim Yahalukah. Death cannot praise Hashem. Death is the opposite of praise Hashem. Praise of Hashem is life. That's very clear. Okay, so a dead thing can't praise Hashem. Who says, does that mean you're not allowed to do mitzvahs with dead things? Anyone think you're not allowed to do mitzvahs with dead things? We do lots of mitzvahs with dead things, right? We do chalitza with something made of a dead animal. What? Shofar, right? I don't know if they cut off a live animal or a dead animal, but probably usually a dead animal, right? We do lots of mitzvahs with dead things, right? That's no chiddush at all. We always do mitzvahs with dead things. They're a matzah. Matzah's just as dead as lulav, right? We cut the wheat off the ground and we burned it. Same for Torah. Meaning, we always use dead things for mitzvah. So why pit on lo amesim yahalukah? So says the Ritva, no, that's a cute flourish of the Yerushalmi. That's not the real reason. The real reason is creates hadar. The Yerushalmi just likes to bring cute sukkim for things. Okay. It's Yeshal Ayin a lot in this Ritva. Does he just mean that the Yerushalmi is not being serious about it? It's not being serious about it. And just it likes to bring nice flourishes? You know, or does he mean, you know, that's probably what he means. You know, it's interesting when to think about what Rav Kukov said. Where Rav Kukov said the Yerushalmi just likes to bring cute flourishes, or that, no, that Bavel is Choshech and it's pure abstract reasoning, and Yerushalmi is more of a philosophical insight. But maybe the Yerushalmi is more of a philosophical insight, right? Says, if you say not like the Ritva, the Yerushalmi meant it. The Yerushalmi said what it meant and meant what it said. Right? The Yerushalmi's word is 100%. So if the Yerushalmi really meant it, unlike the Ritva, it wasn't a cute drush. It wasn't like to get the masses excited. No, the Yerushalmi really meant it. Lo amesim yahalukah, every other mitzvah you could do with something dead, you can't use something dead for lulav, because lulav is praising Hashem. And you can't praise Hashem with something dead. That implies that praising Hashem is of the essence of lulav. And the famous Ritva, quoting Bali Tosfos, it's found in the Bali Tosfos, not anywhere on the page in Shas, but it's found in the Tosfos Shanta, the Tosfos Meir Peretz. No, the Tosfos Shanta, the Tosfos Meir Peretz in Pesachim. And it's quoted in the Ritva and Sukkim Bali Tosfos. They ask a simple question. Why does the Gemara say stolen matzah is pasul? Sorry. Why does the Gemara pasul treif matzah? Because it's a whole convoluted fancy drasha. Why not say it's mitzvah b'avavera? Answer the Bali Tosfos. No. There's no psul of mitzvah b'avavera by matzah. There's no, I mean, don't misquote me. You're not allowed to do an avera in order to do a mitzvah. That's pashut. You can't like do whatever you want. The ends don't justify the means. Question is, if b'dyeva you did an avera and then you did the mitzvah, is it ma'akev or not? So says the Bali Tosfos, again, not on the daf here, not on the daf m'sachim. On the daf here, it gives no answer. It says, by matzah there's no mitzvah avera. Why? Because it's a regular mitzvah. In regular mitzvahs, even if you did an avera, you don't say b'dyeva. You get punished for the avera, but you get rewarded for the mitzvah also b'dyeva. Says, there's only psalm mitzvah v'avera in karbanos. Soni gezel v'ola. Right? Only by karbanos. Why? Because karbanos are coming to be meratz Hashem. Matzah comes to remember Yitzhias Mitzrayim. If you remember Yitzhias Mitzrayim with an avera, you did an avera, but you did a mitzvah. Karbanos are to appease Hashem. You can't appease Hashem with an avera. It says, only applies to karbanos and lulav. Why? Lulav is balaratzos lahalul shapeach. The Ritva here doesn't say lahalul shapeach. I don't remember. That Bali Tosos and Psachim say lahalul shapeach. Right? Meaning, lulav is like a karbon in that it's coming for a special appeasement of Hashem, lahalul shapeach. We see from here that it's part of the etzim of lulav. It's not a cute additional thing. If it's a cute additional thing, it wouldn't pass the lulav. We see that lulav is considered balaratzos. So it's coming for appeasement because it's mishabeach Hashem. So we see two rayas. We have rayos shevach hu chelek me'etzem mitzvahs lulav. What are the rayas? The two best rayas are the Yerushalmi of lo hamesim yahalalu ka, and the Tosfos, not on the daf, but the other Tosfos, meaning... Why did our Tosfos make a daf Misachim and not Tosfos Tosfos made a Peretz? You know, just vicissitudes of history. The Tosfos who says that lulav hava ba'aveira, and we'll get into this at great length next week, is pasol mishum sheba l'ratzos u'l'shabeach. They say specifically, lulav is coming to praise Hashem. Lulav is not just picking up four species. Lulav specifically is praising Hashem with the four species. When we pick up these four species, it's like a carbon. We're offering it and praising Hashem with it. And that's why Lomesh Mihalu Kaz Ma'akev. And that's why Mitzvah Beir Ma'akev. We have two rayas that the praise of Hashem is a Ma'akev part of Lulav. And we add to this the Rambam, who says Mitzvah Kehel Chosa. And we can then, the Rambam says mitzvah kel chasa, and then we'll just add, we're getting a little later to the relationship between lulav and nanuim. Mida'agbe nafikbe, or yotzi without nanuim. Okay, we'll see that's not so pasha. The standard assumption, the conventional wisdom that yotzi without nanuim. But likewise, when it comes to nanuim, even though you're yotzi without nanuim, are you really yotzi without nanuim? What does it say in our Mishnah? Lulav sheish bo shlosha tfachim, kedele naneyebo is kasha. If you don't have shear in the anua, we say this really means it needs a fourth tevach to shake. If it's not long enough to shake, it's puzzle. What does that mean? That means the anua, the shaking lulav. What is shaking lulav for? The shaking lulav is a daven to Hashem. It says, it praises Hashem, who created all the world, a daven to Hashem to give us the rains. So what do we see? We see that even though af al pi din anua eino ma'akev, the Mishnah in Daf Chav Tesem and Beis says, the sheer Nianua is Ma'akev. And not only that, what do we know on Daf Membeis? When do you have to be a Chanukah Katan and Lulav? When he's old enough to pick it up? When he's old enough to shake it. Why not when he's old enough to pick it up? If shaking it is just a cute additional thing, why not when he's old enough to pick it up? So you could say, you don't have to be a Chanukah Lulav till he could do all the ancillary mitzvahs. But says the Chasam Sofer there, no. Says the Chasam Sofer there, which is basically the Rav, he says, the katan potter ad sheyodeya linaneya. What do we see? So says the Chasam Sofer, this is very tricky. On the one hand, mida agbe nafgu, and you pick it up, your yotze. On the other hand, the katan doesn't pick it up until he knows how to shake it. Because it's not really a mitzvah until he shakes it. And you're not yotze if it's not tall enough to shake. It's not a mitzvah until you shake it. And the Ram says the mitzvah kel chasa is to shake it. Mitzvah kel chasa sounds almost like midoraisa mitzvah kel chasa. That's what it sounds like. And we have two rayas, Tosfos and Yerushalmi. You could say we don't like Tosfos and we don't like Yerushalmi. But Tosfos is a very serious mocker, and Yerushalmi is a very serious mocker. It's not an obscure Gemiza fragment someplace. Tosfos and Yerushalmi both say the Hallel is ma'akev. Yavish is possible because you can't, how could death be a Hillel of Hashem? And mitzvah ba'avir is possible to come to Mishabeach Hashem. So what's pshat? So the Rav says, and the Chasam Sofer, the Rav, he doesn't quote the Chasam Sofer, but he could have. I think the Rav would be happy with the Chasam Sofer right here. Says the Chasam Sofer, no, there's a din, kol aroy labila ein bila ma'kevesbo, kol she'ein aroy labila bila ma'kevesbo. And that, I think you have to add, this is the sort of the Rav. There's kol aroy labila. The Torah says you need mincha belula. Halachically, you don't actually need a mincha belula. It just has to be roy labila. If it's Roy Labila, that's close enough your Yotze. It's Ki'ilu, it's Belula. If it's not Roy Labila, if it's Mufka from Belula, you're not Yotze. It's not that Belula is not important. It's just that if you're potential to something, it's already implicit there. Says the Rav and says the Chasam Sofer, that explains this. If you don't say Halal, you're still Yotze B'di Evid. Why? Because it's implicit Halal. But if it's Mason and there's no potential for Hallel, you're not Yotze. Again, if you don't say Hallel, you're Yotze. If you don't do Mitzvah Chas, you're Yotze, because it's implicit in there. If you don't do the Nianuim, you're Yotze, according to most 99.9% of all Deos. But it has to be Rylan Anea, it has to be tall enough for Nianu, the kid has to be old enough to be Nianea. If it's not fitting for Nianua, then you're not Yotze. So I think the Yasod is that every Hagbah is an implicit Hallel. As long as it's Ro'oi Linianua Ula Hallel. As long as Ro'oi Labilein Bila Kevis. Because what does it mean when I pick up these species? When I pick up the Arba Minim, we'll get to the Tamei Mitzvahs behind the Arba Minim, but when I pick up these Arba Minim, what am I saying? I'm saying, look at these beautiful things that Hashem put here. Let's celebrate that Hashem gave us these beautiful things. I'm saying, Hashem, look at these amazing things you gave me. I really appreciate these things. And Hashem, this beauty makes me appreciate the amazing things you gave us in this world, and even maybe specifically in Eretz Yisrael, we'll get to that. So what the Rebbe's saying is that the Agbe Nafik Day, because Agbe is an implicit Hallel. And it's not Ma'akebo as long as it's implicit there. If it's not Roy Lahallel, that's Ma'ake. But a Hagbo is an implicit Hallel, but the Hallel is Ma'etzim, what's the Kiddush of the Rebbe? Even though you're Yotzim with that Hallel, you're not really Yotzim with that Hallel, you're Yotzim without explicating the Hallel. But you're not Yotze without the potential and the implicit Hallel, which is fundamental to the nature of the Arba Minim. And therefore, if the whole point of the Arba Minim is being Mahalal Shem Hashem, now it makes perfect sense what Rashi means. Hola Masker Shem Shemayim Alehim. No, you're Masker Shem Shemayim on this. You are saying Mahalal Shem Hashem with this. Now, we actually say Mahalal Shem Hashem. Here's Hashem Hashem. I've gone Mahalal Shem Hashem. Even if you don't say Mahalal Shem Hashem, you're really saying Mahalal Shem Hashem implicitly. Maybe that's what Rashi means. And that implicit Mahalal Shem Hashem is Ma'akev. It's not like matzah, which just reminds us something a long time ago. No, it's a direct praise of Hashem. It's a direct praise, and therefore, the Hiddur Mitzvah is so necessary in Ma'akev, because what are we saying? We're saying, this is how we praise Hashem. This is the glory of Hashem. The glory of Hashem better be beautiful, just like His name in the Sefer Torah better be beautiful. Because that is already very problematic if you make it ugly. Okay, so that is two ways. We didn't like the first two. We explained this Rashi. One, based on all kinds of tremendous kiddushim, with tremendous cheshvin of Rabbi Yosef Engel in Birkas HaMitzvah, and the other based on a deeper understanding of the nature, a chiddush, but a well-founded chiddush, a well-proven chiddush of the deeper nature of Lulav Esrog, and maybe that's what Rashi means. Okay, we'll have to just finish up the last number four that we didn't get to. We'll finish up next time.